to walk with you, and I thank you for that. Lord, as we open up the scripture again this Sunday morning, I pray that your word would reach the depths of our heart. Father, that you would create that hunger and thirst for righteousness in our lives, Lord God. Lord, use this servant of yours, these servants of yours, to be your hands and your feet in these times. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' high and mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, veterans, who's a veteran? Amen. Stand up. We want to thank you for your service.
Mike,
Jr. Mike, he's coming up behind you. Amen. We want to thank you. Anybody who's ever signed up for the military signs away their rights for a certain amount of time. They're no longer theirs. They've been bought with a price, probably a cheap price in the military. They don't pay you much, but they expect everything out of you. And when you sign your name on that dotted line, you have signed it away until the time of your release. And so I want to thank you again. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your service. Thank you, John. Living thankful. Do we really live a life that's thankful before the Lord? We're going to look at some individuals today that Jesus touched in a real personal way. Changed their dark and dreary and lonesome lives into a place of hope. We'll find that there were 10 of them, but only one was truly grateful and thankful for what he had received. As I'm thinking about that, it reminds me of the church. There's a lot of folks that are born again. But how many truly return thankful? As we get into the scripture today, we'll be looking into some things here. And you may have never heard this portion of scripture taught in this way. But I hope, as the Lord has shown it to me, and I've read it through some pastors that I respect, and they said, wow, I've never heard it that way, but it's absolutely correct. I pray that y'all find it absolutely correct as we get into the scripture today. Jesus, as we get into this account that he gives, was wondering who would really return and to give thanks. It was a great gift that he was about ready to bestow on these men, but only so few truly gave thanks. As we live our lives right here on this plane we call the earth and this time that we're granted, do we really give thanks? And if you'll open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 17, we'll be in verses 11 through 19. Say amen when you get there, because I don't want to leave you behind. Amen. And it came to pass, and I like it when the Bible says that, because that lets you know that Jesus was working. He was going somewhere, and that means that time had come to pass. And so in verse 11, and it came to pass, when he, meaning Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save, that meaning except, this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Blessed be the word of the Lord today. We're going to go back through some of this, through this whole account that Jesus gave. And I think often when we read these accounts of Christ, we just go through them like real, like I just read it. It took like 30 seconds, right, to go along maybe with me a minute. But it just took a real short amount of time to go through that. And we miss what was actually happening. Because we just read it, you know, often. How many have read that story before, that account? I've read it a lot. How many have actually thought about what was really going on at the time? Have you ever really sat down and, all right, now get this through your gourd, Curtis. Wrap yourself in the midst of what's happening. Get yourself into the deepness of the reason that the account was kept in the Scripture by the Holy Ghost for us. Why did Jesus have this put in His Word? Hopefully by the end of the day we'll have some understanding of why. As I said, we often read these accounts. We read them through really quick. We don't think that much about them. But Jesus talking, he makes this account, and he says that there are 10 lepers here. They're somewhere between Samaria and Galilee as Jesus was heading to Jerusalem. Do you really understand leprosy? And have you ever really thought about it? It's a horrible disease. I didn't really know much about leprosy until I gave a good look at it. And I read a lot of medical journals or medical things about leprosy today or this past week and looking into what it really does. And I kind of boiled it down that it would fit into our portion of time, because if I got into the depth of it, we really wouldn't have time at all. But let me explain it a little bit. Leprosy, it's a bacteria. It's very similar to TB, tuberculosis. It is a horrible horrible disease. Today it's called Hansen's disease or Hansen's disease. Leprosy reprograms the body on a cellular level. All right, it takes your cells and starts changing things around. The body starts to attack itself, and it starts with the skin. You start having these lesions on your body, and what it is, your skin actually starts to rot. You start rotting. Your skin, your flesh starts rotting, and at the very onset of this disease, they say it's horribly painful. Think about this as your nerve endings are starting to die, right? Before they die, they're sending out these emergency impulses through your body. So your whole body is itching and flaming and burning, and there's absolutely no relief. As the skin begins to rot, that smell of decaying flesh is around you continuously. The outer parts of the body starts with the extremities, your fingers and your toes, your ears, your nose often just fall off because the blood stops circulating from them and they rot and you lose it. As your nerve endings start to die on your body, you might cut yourself and you don't even realize that you've cut yourself because there's no nerve in it. You're numb. And that sets infection in, and gangrene comes from that. I don't know if you've ever smelt gangrene. It is the sense of it is worse than any carcass you've ever come across. Now imagine that is on you, right? It is in your body. There's nothing you can do about it. These 10 lepers were facing this daily. They said that it takes around 30 years, give or take a little bit, depending on some different things, for your outer shell of your body to truly decompose to the point of death. So for 30 years, you're a leper. Bits and parts and pieces are falling off. Your ears are falling off. Your nose is rotting off of your face. Your lips, they say that the lips, when leprosy gets, and it actually, they rot off of your face. Can you imagine that? I don't know how far along these lepers were in that disease. Your friends and family, and in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapters 13 through 15, and by the grace of God, I'm not going to read all of that to you. If you want to know the laws about dealing with leprosy in the Old Testament, you go through that, and you can. It's a lot of just stuff that praise God, I'm not going to get into because it'd take a long time to go through. But there are some things that the Levitical law said that you had to do when you were found with leprosy. One thing is you had to be set apart, brought outside of the village, and brought to a place of your own. A leper colony is what it would be called today. In those days, you were brought to that place, and any time anybody who did not have leprosy was coming within earshot, you had to scream as loud as you could, "Unclean! Unclean! Stay away!" Now, on the outside of those villages, there'd be, in my imagination, this is my mind going off on me right now, there may have been those signs with the skull and the crossbones, "Danger, do not enter." "No trespassing" would have been up there. "Enter at your own risk" may have been something that was put up on the outside of the villages. You weren't allowed to go outside of that village at all. As long as you had leprosy, you could not get out. No family. No one's allowed to touch you. Your wife can't talk to you. Your kids can't see you. You can't have a relationship. You can't feel the warmth of another person's hand. Now, shortly before Jesus had this encounter, he ran into another leper in Matthew chapter 8. Go flip back over there real quick. And where I think that these people got the understanding that Jesus could heal them, because remember, they were pretty much excluded from every other part of society. Matthew chapter 8. I'm in 7. I read that. I said, "Dude, that's the wrong scripture." Verse 8, chapter 8. "And when he was come down from the mountain," this is after he finished the Beatitudes, "a great multitude followed him, and behold, a certain leper came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.' And Jesus put forth his hand, and he touched him, saying, 'I will, be thou clean.' And immediately his leprosy was clean. And Jesus said unto him, 'See that thou tellest,'" excuse me, I'm putting my own words in there, forgive me. "And Jesus said unto him, 'See thou, tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, offer the gift that Moses commanded for testimony unto them.'" All right, so Jesus, at this time that he cleaned one person, he met that one person, needed mercy. Jesus said, "I'll have mercy on you," and he touched the leper. You never touch a leper in those days. You never touch, and Jesus touched him. That may have been the first time he had human contact. Well, it has been since he was discovered with leprosy up until then. And Jesus said, "You're healed," and immediately that leprosy left. But Jesus said, "Don't tell anybody, but go show yourself to the priest." This time, Jesus is walking through, and he comes up to this leper colony somewhere between Galilee and Samaria. Samaria and Galilee as he's heading to Jerusalem. And so him and his disciples are walking. And if you will imagine, somewhere off in the distance, just where they're in earshot range, right? These men start hollering out, "Master, Master, Jesus." Now, I don't know where they heard that Jesus could heal them. Maybe they heard it because in the leper community, there's a newspaper. I have no idea. They had some way of communicating that there was a healer. His name was Jesus. And if you called out to him, he was able to heal you. Because look, there's a leper that was made clean. Right? So these men having faith, and that's really what it was, right? It was faith. They hollered out to the Lord, and they said real plain, "Master, Master, have mercy. Have mercy on us." And Jesus, being full of compassion, had that mercy. When you came to the Lord, how full of leprosy were you? I was pretty rotten. Amen. I was rotting in my own carcass. I was rotting inside and outside. How does salvation work? I saw the healer, right? I heard that he had the ability to heal me. And what did I have to do? I cried out, not for justice. I cried out for mercy. Jesus, have mercy. And he healed me. And he healed you if you've trusted him as your Lord and Savior. You cry out, and as in my mind's eye, and I'm going to take a little bit of liberty here, as these men are crying out, what may have ran through Jesus' head when he heard, have mercy. They were crying, have mercy on, let our need be seen by you. As we're crying out to Jesus, let my need be seen by you. Oh, grant your compassion on our situation. Help me because I cannot help myself. Isn't that what happened? All right, that's what happened then, that's what happened now. Anybody who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ calling for help, calling for mercy, it's the very same situation. You need to realize what you have is leprosy, and that there's only one way to be cleansed from that leprosy, and that's through the mercy of God through Jesus Christ. And you got to call and you got to say, Lord, I see my depravity, I see my need, and I need you in me, on me, cleanse me. Jesus, when he hears those cries, it always comes out the same. When he hears you hollering out for mercy, guess what he gives? Mercy. He's moved with compassion on your situation because he loves you. Just like he loved those 10 men. All 10 of them, as they received the compassion from God, received what they needed, right? They received the healing of their body. They received what God was sending them their way. All 10 as they went. Now, this is a part of faith because remember the last time that we saw Jesus healing somebody right after the Mount of Olives, he touched the man. He said, I love you. Go be healed or be healed. I touched you. I touched your leprous body. I had compassion for you. And the Spirit started cleansing that man right at that moment. And Jesus said, don't go tell nobody, but just go show yourself. Don't tell them I did it. Just go show yourself to the priest to make that offering. And in Leviticus chapter 14, if you want to know what the offerings are, it's the whole chapter. In Leviticus chapter 14, it tells you what you got, what the priest would do. But we have a high priest who did it all on the cross. All that blood that needed to be shed for that in the Old Testament was given to us through Christ Jesus. And so as he says, go show yourselves to the priest, and it came to pass, as they went, they were healed. Now what if they hadn't gone? They wouldn't have been healed. It took faith, all right? Now imagine this. You've lost fingers, your face is all twisted and knotted up with this leprosy all over your body, and you say, oh, Jesus, have mercy on me. And he says, go and show yourself. And so instead of running to Jesus, all 10 men turn and they start walking toward the temple. Right? They're going to where the priests are. And as they go, their finger comes back on. As they go, their joints start to loosen up in their body. Their skin starts becoming new, like baby skin. Right in front of them, we're all 10 men. We're all walking together. I'm looking at Joshua. He's looking at me. And as we go, I say, Josh, your nose is back on your face. Praise God! Because you would look ugly, man, without it. And now God has touched you, and he's healing you. Your ears start popping back into place, and you're hearing things, you're seeing things. All of a sudden, your lips are growing back on your skeletal jaw. Right? How you like that, Doc? I like how I did that. It's just probably a name for it. I don't know. Anyhow, if your lips are growing back, and they were better than what they were before. Could you imagine you're walking and your hand just grows out of your wrist? Right? Because you lost it a couple of years ago. Right? You're walking and all of a sudden all these things that had fallen off, all of a sudden were being restored as you were going. What? Can you imagine the the excitement of those lepers when they were seeing that. Oh, the first couple steps as they were heading there, I'm sure were, oh geez, we really didn't get what we wanted. We didn't really get it, but it doesn't say how far they went before it started happening. We don't know how far they were from the temple. There's a lot of things we don't know, but we do know that it took faith for those 10 men to move from where they were because they believed what Jesus said and started making an effort to get to what he told them to do, even if they didn't see it on the first step. It may have been the 30th step before something started happening. We don't know that. But as they went, step by step by step, sanctification started happening in their life. As they went step by step, movement by movement, as things were moving in their body on the cellular level, and brand new life was happening to them that they could have never imagined. Oh, man. Don't you think your step would have picked up? Man, I cannot wait to get to where the priests are, right? I'm one of the 10. I can't wait to get there because then we're going to be able to take our sacrifice, get into the temple of God, and he's going to put the hyssop and the oil and all that kind of stuff. And after that, guess what I'm going to be able to do? I get to go see my brother again. I get to hold my children one more time in my brand new arms. I can't wait. I haven't kissed my wife 15 years because I've been a leper. Plus, I had no lips. Right? See where I go. It was so good, and then I get in the middle of it. Right? And so, and now all of these dreams, all of these hopes, all of these things that you never thought was going to happen start happening. And only one make a difference. Now, all of them were healed, right? All 10 of them were healed. God showed his compassion on every one of them. God moved over all of them. But one of them had a different heart. One of them said, all right, now, granted, I get to see my wife, I get to see all that other stuff. I'm still excited about that. But I need to stop where I am because I realized who I was, and now God has made a difference in my life. I need to give him glory. I don't know how far he was on the road to being fully made whole, but he had to stop where he was, and he fell on his face, and he said, thank you, God. I am no longer a leper. Thank you, God. I'm being healed right here. My fingers, my feelings, my skin, my life is being returned to me. Praise you, God. When was the last time the Christian church felt that way? When was the last time we looked at our situation as a rotting, stinking leper and God loved you while you were yet a sinner and made you whole, brand new, all over? Have we ever come back? Have we ever come back to the feet of Jesus and fell on our faces and worshiped him with thanksgiving?
Well, praise God, I'm saved.
Right, I'm going to heaven, you ain't. Right? Church of Jesus Christ. We need to start worshiping God because he's God. We need to start really giving everything that he gave. I come back to him and with a loud voice glorify God for what he has done. We need to come and fall face first and give thanks to the Savior for the great work he has done for us. Don't you think that didn't go unnoticed? Well, we know it went noticed by Jesus because he said, didn't I heal 10? Were not 10 men cleansed? Was not a whole group of individuals saved and sanctified by my sacrifice on the cross? Weren't you healed? Weren't you made whole? Only 1% came back, 1 out of 10. If there's 100, you know, there'd be 10 that would have come back. If there was 1,000, there'd be 100. I was writing this. I was dying on the inside. Have I really thanked him? set me free from. And y'all think that my ex-daughter-in-law asked me as I was driving to get her couch in Webster this week, "What do you do all week sitting in your office?" Okay. I'll tell you, this week, I died in my office. I realized that I was one of the nine, all right, that really hadn't come back and given thanks to Jesus for what he has done for me. How often does he re-cleanse me from my filthiness? How often do I need to go back to the fountain and wash myself in the pool of his love and his grace? And when I do, do I glorify him for what he has done? I don't know, y'all may be much better than me. Y'all might already be there. But I found that there's a lot in my life that needs to change. Jesus asked, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Are not found that which returned to give glory to God, except save this one stranger?" And even as I was thinking that this week, it came to my mind, you know, when was the last time we had communion? Anyone remember? It's been a long time. It's been a long time. I'm sure the juice that we're about ready to pass out probably tastes more like wine right now than when it should. All right? I have not been leading you the way I ought to be leading you. Back to the cross. Back to the point of your salvation. Forgive me, okay? You guys. You know? I've already got forgiveness from the Lord. He's already squared me away, all right? But even in that, I need to talk to everybody here. Forgive me. Because we were all born lepers. And I don't know if this one leper could have done anything else to the 9. I don't know. I know one thing, that he was a Samaritan. He wasn't part of the religious group. All right? He was one that was kind of out, even in the leper colony. Because all the other, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm imagining a little, what do they call that when the artist, the writer takes some liberties? Artistic liberties, I guess they call it. Yeah. And so I'm taking a little bit of liberty here. So I'm saying that they were, since Jesus told them to go to the priest, I'm imagining in my mind that they were heading back to the temple, where the priests are, right? So they must have been Jews. The Samaritan wouldn't have been welcome there anyhow, right? Because he was Samaritan. He wasn't allowed to go. He was an unclean individual. He was a half-breed. Amen? I'm a half-breed too. Even in the leper colony, he was probably an outcast because he wasn't a Jew. He was a Samaritan, a leper. See? So even in that, think of it as church. How many folks that you know that are in a congregation, but they're still on the outside of the congregation because they don't quite think like you think? They might be of a different understanding. All right, they still love Jesus, right? But it might be of a different thought process. Not that they're incorrect. Well, actually, you're either right or you're wrong. Let's say that they're doctrinally correct, but we believe some things and they believe something different. They're of a different race, possibly. Why is it we don't have any folks of color come to white churches? Or very few.
There's only one race.
Amen. Human race, right. Right. Pigmentation. All right, people with different pigmentations. Why can't we worship with other folks? I don't know. Because, like you said, there is no different race. We are one race. We're all sinners. Everyone, the Samaritan was just as much a leper as the Jews were a leper. They were all in the same boat. They all came to the same Savior to get saved. They all got cleansed the same way, the same day. Are you desiring to be the ninth, the one out of the nine that would come back to Jesus? What Jesus says here, the Samaritan that came and gave thanks, verse 17, he says, and Jesus answering said, where are the ten? We're not ten cleansed, but where are the nine? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said to him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, were all ten saved from their leprosy? All right? But who became complete? Whole meaning complete. All right, I'm not asking whether you're saved or not. I'm going to say you've all trusted Jesus Christ. There's a small body here, and I know you personally. All right, and far as I know, I've heard you confess the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth. I know your lifestyle pretty much. I've been in everybody's house here. Yeah, I've been even yours. I've been to everybody's house here. All right, I know some things about you. Right. As far as I can tell, in my mind, in my head, you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If not, let me know now, we can fix that. All right, so we're all saved here. Who's willing to come back to Christ and glorify Him for what He has done for you? Amen? And don't raise your hand to me. I ain't here. I ain't nobody you've got to answer to. Jesus brought me to the woodshed through this. Maybe it's time for you to go to the woodshed willingly with Christ and let Him fix some things that need to be fixed in you. Maybe it's that time you need to come back and not just have faith for salvation, but faith enough to glorify God in that salvation that you can be made complete in Him. Are you ready to go that way? Right? Are you, in your personal life, are you prepared to go back and humble your rotting carcass before the Lord Jesus Christ and give Him glory for the salvation that He's given you? I hope so. See, after this, I don't know what else to do. Right? Are you going to be the nine or are you going to be the one? Right? Are you going to go with the crowd and just say, praise God, I'm saved. I said my prayer. I'm good enough. I got my healing. I'm on my way. Are you going to realize that you've been healed and come back and glorify God for the healing that you have received? It's all about choices, right? He chose you. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. While these men were lepers, rotting, stinking, He died for them and gave them a new life. Nine didn't come back and glorify Him. Only one did. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You for the Word that You gave us this morning. I thank You, Father, for what You are doing in our lives. I pray, Father, Lord, that I would be one of the one. All right? That I would be one. And Lord, You told us that as long as we met together, that we should take communion from time to time just to remember what You have done in us and for us. And as we come together today, we're going to take communion. George, would you pass this out? And keep your heads bowed. George knows the way. If He hands you something, just take it. Jesus, knowing that He was going to go to the cross soon, He broke the bread at the Last Supper and He gave thanks. George passes the Paul writes to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. For as I have received of the Lord, which also I deliver unto you. The word that I received from the Lord, I'm just giving it back to you. The things that I learned about Jesus Christ and about our walk with Him, about being healed from our personal leprosy, I received that and I'm giving it to you. Now Jesus, that same night, you got it, George? Jesus, that same night that He was going to be betrayed, He took the bread and He broke it and He gave thanks. And He said, this is My body broken for you. I tell you what, I guess you get these things so long they just kind of stick together. My goodness. All right, break that. Woohoo! I finally got mine open. Y'all having trouble with it too?
Yeah.
Anyhow, let's lift this before the Lord. And it says that the Lord Jesus, that same night which He was betrayed, He took bread and He, after giving thanks, broke it and said, take and eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. And so as we have this little wafer in our hand, us lepers, remember what Jesus did for us as He was broken on the cross. So I see so many folks are having such a hard time with this little wafer. Anybody having a hard time with that? Let me see if I can help you.
That is in pieces, but I got it.
Oh my goodness, we should never let our communion get this stale on the container and in our hearts. I got to talk now. I had to come down to the congregation with a knife in my... Pretty bad when you got to bring a pocket knife to communion. So. Anyhow, I just want to make sure that we can all be on the same page. And so Jesus, as He was saying that His body was going to be broken for our sin, He gave thanks. So let's give thanks for Jesus and what He has done for us in the pouring out of His body for my sin. Dear Father, I thank You so much, Lord God, for Your love, for Your grace, for Your goodness. Father, I thank You, Lord God, that You have met us in the midst of our leprosy and You've cleansed us. Lord, as we have gathered together today, we come to remember and to worship You and to glorify You for becoming sin for me. And so, Lord, as we confess our sin before You, You are faithful, You are just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as Your body is offered up, we offer up ours to You. Father, cleanse us, make us whole. As we remember what You did for us with this wafer, Father, and we take it together in Jesus' name. Thank You. And also, in the same manner, He took the cup that He had supped in, saying, this is the cup. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. As you do, as often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat the bread and you drink the cup, you do showing the Lord's death until He comes. And He took the cup and He lifted it before the Father. And He said, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Our Lord Jesus, we thank You for the shedding of Your blood for the remission of my sin. Lord, as we come together just remembering what You have done and the way that You've moved in us, we humbly just rest inside of what You have already done. As we take the cup, Lord Father, as we take the juice, we just want to remember and to thank You and to praise You for all of the mercy that You've shown us. We do this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we ought to do this coming back to the very throne of God. coming back to the very place where a leprosy was cleansed, and to give glory and honor and reverence to the one who paid that price for us. Lord, we thank you again. We praise you and we worship you with the fullness of our heart. We ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.